I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but they are kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a Get Back to Work Monday. Talking to you, Selvia. We are joined right now live via phone by a good friend and a fine guest. He is John Nichols with The Nation, national affairs correspondent thereof. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, John.
Hey, man. It's good to meet with you.
John, I got to tell you, I would love to hang out with you in La Crosse tomorrow, chasing President Joe Biden. I wish the Biden administration wasn't being so sketchy with the guy's itinerary.
Yeah, I like hanging out in La Crosse. I don't even need to have a president there to enjoy La Crosse. You know, it's a town that rises above the level of a presidential visit on its own. But it'd be nice to know a little more. From what I understand, and this probably tells you something about the condition of the farming industries in Wisconsin, they wanted, the initial plan was to go to a farm, and they wanted to emphasize some issues as regards beef processing and you know, some of the concentration of processing and agriculture and things like that. And I think they're still struggling to find a farm. I hope they don't think they're going to find any cows in La Crosse.
Well, maybe not in the city limits, but you don't have to go far, John.
I think that's the theory. From what I understand, they may, land in La Crosse and then hit the road a little bit, but I could be wrong.
I think they're going to Coon Valley, John. It's just right around the bluff, and it's beautiful, picturesque.
It's exquisite. You are right. Do you remember, this is one of my favorite things. This is some years ago. John Kerry, who is now, advising on climate, but he was running for president in 2004, and they wanted him to be like a little bit of a man of the people. And so they took him out skeet shooting, I think, north of La Crosse someplace. He went into some gun range, and he showed up wearing like his hunting clothes, and they were like really good, the boots, like the perfectly buffed pants, the jacket that you could put your shells in, the whole bit. And someone, as I recall, allowed it how they looked at him and said, "Man, that outfit probably cost more than my house."
Oops.
Sort of undermined the man of the people thing a little, but you gotta watch out for that.
No worse than the windsurfing though, John.
No, yeah. Hey, it's always one must be careful about these things. But, that's actually sort of Biden's genius, right? He just sticks to the suit. You do not see him making too many. He doesn't do too many costume changes.
Well, he does go like blue Oxford, with the sleeves rolled up occasionally, no sport coat. But that's about as dressed down as Biden ever gets.
Yeah, that's about as loose as the man gets. And probably smart, but if they take him out to a farm, right, and and he's gotta, do the outfit and stuff like that, maybe you see him in a little plaid shirt, some jeans, something like that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation, a Wisconsinite like Dom and I are, and we're alums of the fine university in La Crosse. The state one, not the good one. University of Wisconsin La Crosse grads. Yeah, Viterbo's a fine university. And then there's the one I went to. At least as a mass comm major, John, it was perhaps not the finest of J schools. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you couldn't get into Platteville?
I had considered Northwestern, but it was a little pricier than La Crosse. But let me ask you, John, why would Joe Biden come to southwestern Wisconsin? What is the appeal of the Mississippi River portion of the state?
The cheese, obviously. So you get some of your better cheddars in that area. If by chance you're talking about politics, look, it's all about politics. The Mississippi River kind of corridor starting in western Illinois and western Iowa. It used to be even northern Missouri, but that corridor going up the Mississippi, and then obviously hitting Wisconsin and Minnesota, is a political swing region. It's a battleground politically. And if Democrats do well in eastern Minnesota, western Wisconsin, northeastern Iowa, northwestern Illinois, they do well at both the presidential level and in congressional elections. And to give you a sense, right, if you want to look at where some of the most competitive House races in 2022 are going to be, it's right up that Mississippi River. The Ron Kind seat is going to be competitive. I think there's no doubt of that. It was certainly in the last cycle. That Northwest Illinois seat, the sitting member of Congress is stepping down, and there's going to be a great battle royale there. That eastern Minnesota seat is often competitive and often, you know, up for grabs. And that northeast Iowa seat is, in fact, very much in play, and it's going to have a very serious race. It just turned in 2020. So bottom line is, you look up and down that region, this is where especially a Democratic president should go, and where you should spend a lot of time making a lot of connections and basically communicating, A, that you're in touch with the region, and B, that you're, you know, you're doing good for it, that you're bringing it benefits. And I think that's, Biden gets that. He understands politics enough to know that if you're flying into Wisconsin, you can go to Madison. Madison's great. I love Madison. But you're going to be talking to, you know, people who are probably pretty sympathetic to you already. You can go over to Waukesha County and say, oh, I'm staking out my ground in Republican areas, and you may have some impact. There's some of those suburban voters that are in swing. But the smartest place to go in Wisconsin, La Crosse or Eau Claire, because those are the places where, you know, basically elections are decided.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. John Nichols, the National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation, joins us on the phone. John, what kind of impact, and again, knowing that this Mississippi Valley area is kind of a swingy area of the state of Wisconsin, what kind of residual impact do you think some of the stimulus money and now this new tax, child tax credits that are going to be coming out, you know, actual dollars in the pockets of citizens, how long do you think, how much goodwill do you think this administration mm-hmm. and Biden will get from that? Do you think that will last through the election?
No, it won't. But it does get goodwill. I mean, I think that's it. Two parts of the same coin here. There's no question that putting money in people's pockets, especially coming out of the pandemic, was very appealing. It continues to be very appealing. In addition, you know, I think that the vaccination program, just, you know, getting people vaccinated, getting, you know, the world kind of back into play, that counts for a lot, and don't underestimate it. However, November 2022 is a political lifetime away, and you're going to have a lot that happens in between. The economy will go up and down. It'll have some twists and turns. We could have a resurgence of COVID. Countries around the world are having it right now. You have also just the sort of ongoing question, what have you done for me lately? So at the end of the day, what Biden needs to do is to continually deliver on that, as you put it, money in the pocket, or at the very least on a sense that, you know, he's getting things done. He's making things happen. He's governing. And then he has to do exactly what he's going to do on Tuesday, which is get in the plane and go out to tell America that you're governing. You can't just presume that people are going to, you know, be conscious of it or aware of it or care about it unless you're A, doing big things on a regular basis, and then B, going out and talking about it.
John, I want to get your opinion on the state politically of the infrastructure deal and this reconciliation. You know, obviously, last week the president came out with some Republicans and they're very proud we have a deal. And then he said, you know, some things about a parallel track and reconciliation, these other bills that are priorities for the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi says, well, let's Senate do their thing and we'll pick up in the House after they do it. How do you see this bill now? I mean, you know, the headlines are saying, you know, Biden is trying to backtrack and, you know, keep the Republicans at the table. How do you see this mm-hmm. playing out? What's your opinion of how this transpired, John?
Convo friggin' looted. You know, like, okay, we got an infrastructure plan, but we're taking stuff out of it. Then we're going to pass it in another plan, and one of them's going to be bipartisan, and one of them is going to ram it through with reconciliation. And somehow it's all coming there, you know, and you're going to get everything you want, but it's, you know, we're going to be, you know, loving up our Republican friends over on this side, and then we're going to be fighting them with everything we got over on that side. And it's, I think the messaging on it is a mess. I understand what the president's trying to do. It's sort of, you know, really the two sides of who he is. He's a veteran of the Senate who remembers a time when you could build bipartisan deals, and he knows that that, you know, gets you a lot of credit on the talk shows on Sunday morning. By the same token, he's got a Democratic Party that's getting increasingly frustrated with things not getting done and with all this bargaining with Republicans. And so, you know, I know that there was a couple points last week where they were talking about this parallel track and stuff like that. At the end of the day, I think that we're still faced with the reality. For all the theater here, we're faced with the reality that anything good is almost certainly going to have to come through reconciliation. And I know that that disappoints our fans of bipartisanship, but even the deal that he had with the Republicans, that thing required 10 Republicans to come over, right, and to stay with him, you know, through all the wrangling with the House, through any kind of reconciliation, or not reconciliation in that form, but reconciliation between the House and Senate packages. I don't think that's possible. And remember, let's say it is 10 Republicans, if there's 10 Republicans that are solid with Biden on some kind of deal, what happens when Donald Trump says, hey, what about this guy? How come you're doing that? And does that Republican withstand that pressure from Trump or from their home state party? I still believe we're ending up with reconciliation.
Folks, that's John Nichols, our fine guest from The Nation magazine. Bernie Sanders said today to Joe Biden and Joe Manchin, no reconciliation bill, no deal. I don't think the progressive left's going to accept the watered-down version of our favored infrastructure bill. There's no reason to, John. And I continuously make this point, and I feel like some of this is kabuki theater, Biden and the centrist righties and the centrist lefties. But I think in some way, John, he's given a little too much cover to the Kristen Sinemas and the Joe Manchins by giving them this false impression that somehow we're going to come up with a centrist bipartisan bill. He's also giving them some cover fire on ending the filibuster. John, what do you think's more important? If we got rid of the filibuster, we can get a lot more of what we want done.
Absolutely, we can. Do you even know what kabuki theater is?
Sort of.
Yeah, see, same here. And so, but, you know, we presume it involves some sort of, like, you know, two images kind of in the head at the same time, causing us to imagine, you know, all sorts of things are possible and all sorts of things are going on. And you know, it works right up to the point where you decide, okay, I'm not following this. And my sense is that we're getting pretty close to that point. There are an awful lot of progressives who have been incredibly patient with, you know, Manchin, Sinema, some of the other Democrats, and with, you know, this incredible deference to Susan Collins, right, and to, you know, Lisa Murkowski and Bob Portman. You know, I mean, with all due respect, at a certain point, as Molly Ivins used to say, you're supposed to dance with them that brung you. The truth is that Joe Biden got elected president because a lot of Democrats and a lot of progressives worked really hard to get rid of Donald Trump. And I think there's a growing frustration with all this bargaining rather than governing. And, you know, I appreciate Bernie Sanders for saying what he said. I suspect he speaks for a lot of progressive members of the House and Senate.
John Nichols, you got a few more minutes for us because Trump's back out at the rally doing his pity parties.
I love that.
And there's some new books and some new reporting.
Absolutely. Mike Rebell died, and we're very sorry about that. And, you know, lots of things going on. I could not think of anything I'd rather do than stick around.
Stick awesome. Around. More John Nichols, the political party. It continues.
They're winners. Winners get to do what they want.
So relax. Let's have some fun out here. This game's fun, okay?